Hey, if I can pick your brain for just a second, too, because I've been, I don't know if you know this, but I in my recording studio, I've got a couple of multi-track analog tape recorders, and there's not a lot of people around anymore that really understand how to maintain them and work on them, and so I'm pretty involved in a couple of forums on the internet to share knowledge and repair tips and things like that. And there's an interest on this forum about your involvement with the magnetic tape, contemporary magnetic tape formulations and composition. And the, and what's on the internet, I mean, your name is all over the internet in terms of being having that development at 3M under your direction.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into the details of it.
No.
And I was trying to remember what, because you told me several times, and I remember the course details, but when you and your team were, there was kind of a breakthrough moment where you, am I correct that you figured out how to bind the oxide to the substrate and not have a breakdown?
Yeah.
And what was the substrate that was being used prior to the new material? Because I remember they used paper. And that
I made a very complicated one, but I was bound and determined to get the stretch out of it. So I actually took a very thin hemp paper. It's called Troia tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the I mixed the needle form of the magnetic oxide in a slurry of a acrylic emulsion, and what did I do? I forget now what I did, but I guess I redissolved that in solvent and then coated it out and picked it up with this off of a shiny surface with after it's drying on the Troia tissue. And that stuff, I've checked it lately, and it's still good.
Really? So you have some of that?
Oh yeah.
Down in the lab?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you see a lot of it. It was a hard thing to solve at that time, but new materials came out, and like Mylar hadn't been invented yet at that time.
Right.
And Mylar was a beautiful backing for it, but no stretch and coatability and everything else.
Right. Which is what they use nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it happened right after. We didn't make much of that early stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the Mylar came along just about that time. I left under a cloud with 3M, you know.
Yeah.
And they took some of my written stuff, like testing for corrosion, things like that, and had another, rewrote it or republished it and left my name off of it.
Right.
Things like that. And they gave credit for the first work on the film, on the recording film. They gave that to another guy who wasn't even in on the project. And I don't know how I got a hold of him, but I got into a historian down in San Diego.
Yeah.
And he cleared it up for me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He got at least one of them to change.
Really?
Yeah. Dropped the other guy's name off.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I did find something on the internet from, it was from San Diego area. I haven't read the whole article yet.
That's probably him.
I'll trying to look here. I don't think it mentions a name. Let's see. So what was it that was, what material was it that was stretchy that wasn't working?
That was a polyvinyl.
Okay. And it would react with the with this.
That was a German patent. They put it on a polyvinyl and it worked, but it gradually deteriorated because it stretched.
Right. Oh, right. Sure.
And they tried to take as much stretch out of it as they could, you know. But and you can get polyvinyl alcohol. You can get that pretty stiff.
Right.
But it still has a stretch to it. So and that's why we couldn't get a patent, because that patent was sticking out.
Right. Okay.
And
Stephen Schoner, does that name sound
familiar? Yeah, that's the guy.
Yep, I've got his article right here. Yeah, and what does he say here? He says, okay, in 1944, Ralph Owens of 3M solved the problem of coating a paper base with the magnetite powder. But the war ended the funding for the project.
Yeah, that isn't the way it did went.
Yeah, it says the experiments of Owens and the Fiat reports of the German BASF tapes caused the 3M company to create a magnetic tape laboratory in 1946.
Yeah.
So that's leaving out.
A whole lot of stuff. Yeah. I pretty well did that all by myself.
Yeah.
I'd had a lot of trouble on the black electrician's tape that I've passed around the testing to other labs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came to sign the patent, why I was supposed to be the only signer on it. And then some guy thought he should have a signature on it. And the legal department said that he didn't do anything with it, and so they gave credit to his assistant that did the work.
Oh, nice.
And then when they did that, then they thought, well, maybe my assistant should have some credit too. And all he was I just write out a formula and he'd go down and run it.
Yeah.
And he didn't do any of the theoretical part of it.
He's a gopher.
Yeah, but that's the way it ended up. I was first signer, but I had a lot of help in it. So I wasn't going to go through that again.
Yeah.
So when the film came out, I did this all by myself.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me so mad when they took my name off. They remodeled the article from the magazine. See, it was in a magazine first. That's where it all, that's really the only basis that they follow up on.
Right.
And the way the guy wrote it up that about that R dropping the program, that never happened.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway.
So do you have access to any of the rewritten stuff, or did you just talk to this guy in San Diego and...
No, I talked to him, told him how pissed off I was.
Yeah.
And he went ahead and straightened it out.
Wow.
At least on some of them. But,
right.
But there's a lot of them that are...
there's no way.
There's a lot of them that never got corrected.
Yeah. So what about the acetate substrate? Wasn't that being used at the time, like in the film industry?
Yeah, that's right. I coated this on acetate.
Mm-hmm.
I used the acetate film to get the shiny surface.
Okay.
And I coated the acetate with the water dispersion. And then I just rolled the paper into it.
Okay.
And then peeled it off when it's dry.
Oh, I see.
So I got a shiny surface.
Right.
But you see, you could only make a one-sided thing that way.
Right.
Too.
Right.
And it was a pretty tough. You got all this film that you don't. You, maybe you could use it over again, maybe you couldn't, you know.
Right.
So it wasn't, but it was the only solution right for right at the time.
Right. So DuPont, were they working on the Mylar?
I think the Mylar came from England.
Oh, okay.
The first Mylar. I guess DuPont got into it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because DuPont, that's an American.
But the samples we had from the start were from England.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. So when you said that you had test cycles running in the lab overnight to see the durability, that was on the, because you said you got a call in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah. The way we worked it, I did. That's right. I didn't work alone. I worked alone as far as 3M was concerned.
Right.
But I sent my samples down to Battelle Laboratories, and then they'd run tests on it. And this guy down there, I think his name was Campbell. And he just called up, and all he said was it ran a million times.
And it was still going.
Yeah.
And that was on the stuff you had done with the, what was the paper you called? The
Troya tissue.
The Troya tissue.
Yeah.
So that was a cellulose-based substrate.
Yeah, with an acrylic around the particles.
Okay.
And then the acetate just was torn off.
Okay. So that acetate was used to create a shiny surface on the backing of the Troya tissue.
Yeah, so that you got a noiseless surface.
Right.
Otherwise, it would be terrible if you had just a coating, you know, it dries rough.
Oh, okay. So, no, not not on the back of the tissue. The Troya tissue was the substrate backing, and then the oxide acrylic slurry was put on the acetate, and that was peeled off to get it glossy. So it didn't really have a binder on it, because nowadays you've got your substrate, you've got your oxide layer, and then you've got a binder that kind of holds that all together and provides that slick surface. But you had a substrate and an oxide layer.
Yeah, well, the shiny surface now comes from the Mylar.
Well, yeah they use the Mylar is the substrate now.
Yeah.
And so that's a shiny for the back, but for
the paper was a substrate, really, because the other stuff had no strength at all.
Right. Right.
Just a nice coating.
Yeah. Wow. And so, and what you had done before that, because, I mean, how other experiments that you had run, how many cycles would it go before it would break down or
apart? I hit it on the first time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. that was the first sample.
Wow. And prior to that, the stuff that was being used wouldn't go anywhere near that, right? Before it was stretching and
that was a German product, and I never saw any of it, and it wasn't used in this guy. They were still using wire recorders.
Yeah, right.
And those were terrible.
Yeah.
You'll have to see some of those early samples, material.
I would love to.
I'm hanging on to it. I got a lot of the later stuff, too.
Yeah.
Got a whole box of tape.